morning, we're going to take a bit of time just to chat as a family about the things that might help us into a new era. We have an imminent new era in the building we're in back in Adelaide, but I love coming away to a camp like this because it reminds us that it's about the people. This isn't a wonderful structure. This is a structure. And that's not going to be the glory of God, right? The glory of God is going to be what's in each one of us. And what we've been thinking about and the whole theme of the camp has been looking at the eras we've been through. And we've had a lot of fun with the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. You know, we've done those things because what we're wanting to make the point about is every season has new words, new ways, and new worship. But the root derivative or the core of the meaning of those things for us as a church never changes. That's old. But what's new is how we express it in our time to those who are finding God, those who are already worshiping God, and maybe those God who have turned away from God. And we are drawing them to a heart of what it is. And do you know what the most convincing thing on the planet is? Not great buildings or tents or even talent shows. Sorry, friends. It is a diverse family of people from all different ages and all different spectrums of society, unified by the word of God, his ways, and his worship. Just what we were experiencing then. The profound peace of God. Before I go too far this morning, do you know sometimes we welcome babies into the community? We're like, oh, that great dad. You know what? Jordan, last week, this young lady walked up to the front of the church and she gave her heart to Jesus. And sorry to embarrass you. Okay. I know there's been a walk with Matt and Ash and Jez and those sort of things, but let me tell you, I was like, I wanted to get everybody back upstairs and have a celebration. Because I know what heaven does when people give their lives. And I love the way she said it, you know, Jesus has given his life to me and I'm going to give my life to him. I was like so pure and powerful. But it was real, hey, for you, like in your heart and in your life. And we just want to welcome you to the family. Because when you... Because when you make a decision for Jesus, you also get a family. Now, some of them you're not always going to like. All right? It's okay. We work through it. That's why we've got the love of God. But you're welcomed into a family, and I just want you to know that, you know, and that you're here and you're a part of what God's doing, and I'm so thankful for that. Great moments on family camp. Many more people are going to find Jesus in this next season. The Jesus that you know. And you're going to be teaching them about what they've found. The words that are so important to you. The ways of God that you've found. And why you stand and worship the way you do. Isn't that exciting? What is old is new, but there are new expressions. I mean, there are some expressions that don't need to come back. Flares don't need to come back. Beanie, I'm sorry, man. Like, I know this is a moment of healing for Beanie right now. I mean, he has been praying for years. I've known him for many years that there would be a return of flares. His cupboard is ready. And I'm having to say, you know, like the Queen's coffin that passed by, put them in, grieve it and leave it, you know? Just grieve it and leave it. And then God will bring something new, even better. There could be something better than flares. Isn't that amazing? There will be dye. Oh, my gosh. I had two suggestions there that are worse than flares. One was Lycra, and the other one was leg warmers. Okay, there's clearly when I was coming down here and I was praying, Lord, what are the things that people need to let go of? They weren't even in my top 10, but now they're right up the top. Let them go, in Jesus' name. We learned how words in different expressions the other night, we were throwing out words like, you know, square, groovy, things like far out. Some of the younger generation were just perplexed. What are these strange sayings that are coming out? And equally, older people, things like actual, facts, no caps, caps, the goat. You can't. No cap, cap. Right, thank you, Beanie. Thank you for that clarification. And there was confusion in the ranks of what on earth does this mean? But I think it's a little bit like Acts 2 when the church came together with many languages and still were able to hear from the same word, the same way, and the same God. In 2000, and I think it was about 16, we had a camp, and I remember that the building wasn't that great, and we had floods of water, and it was pouring down through the ceiling, and yet we worshipped. And it was a very humble situation, and maybe that even suited where we were at as a church. You know, we needed to sort out our covering. We needed to work through those things. But now I look at this church community that you've invested, not only in being here, but for one another. This afternoon we'll have a barbecue, which might look like, hey, we're getting something to eat, and we're sitting around having a chat, and it's a good thing to do, like many others would be around this area maybe, driving down to Victor on a Sunday afternoon to have leisure. But we know there's something else happening here, something deeper, more powerful, as God connects our hearts and delivers us to what's coming. In 1 John 1, I'm going to read a little bit of scripture to you. If you've got your Bible, electronic or otherwise, 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to read it through a few verses here. I want to take you through the heart of God for his word, the way that we might walk, and the way that we might worship. You've heard me say it's going to be different, but it only changes if it changes in you. And I love John's words. You know, John was the disciple who was like the relational guy with Jesus. He was like always leaning on the chest of Jesus, always leaning into him. Peter was the guy who was like, let's go and get some stuff done. Cool, heard the, let's go. He got the word. He many times forgot to listen for the way. And he would run off and do it. And I've seen in church communities, we can be like that. We've got the word, Ben, let's just go now. Let's, hang on, wait. Wait. What are his ways? And yet the sense that John would wait for his ways and then deliver his worship. In verse 1, John commends to us, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. It's a little like Beanie's song he was singing before. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands. This is John talking to us about Jesus. Concerning the word of life. They didn't just see him, they saw how he lived. They saw how he was. They saw his relationship. It left an indelible footprint on their lives. They couldn't get it out of their mind how Jesus lived towards the Father God. What they were searching for was seen in Jesus. Such that when he said, follow me, they left everything and followed him. It wasn't like they suddenly went, oh, who's this guy? We're going to go. Everything they had been searching for came upon a moment. And I believe that's what's going to happen across our nation and the nations. People are going to have encounters with God where there's been a long lead up. Their heart has been searching. They've been readied. And then suddenly they look upon the genuine and the real. The exciting thing is the way Jesus manifests himself these days is through his people. They might happen upon you, your conversation, your words, the way you're living and the way you're worshiping, and find the genuine reality that says, come follow me. Isn't that powerful? So he knew the word of life. Verse 2. That life was made manifest, and we have seen it. So many here have seen the life of Christ. Don't look for some added extra, some add-on that you might need for your life. Some more bling, you know? Some additions. The world is selling additions and add-ons all the time, even to Jesus. Even believers get caught up in trying to add things. If any of you have an iPhone or a Samsung, you will have added many apps that you don't require. Is that correct? That you never use. To the point where sometimes a little alert comes up and says, do you want to archive all of these apps that you have not used? They're using up memory and all this energy and they're doing nothing. Sometimes our lives are like that. And we actually just need to have a big, I was going to say, detox, but I might even say dump. Just dump them. Leave it. Archive it. put it behind you. The things that are taking your energy, your time that you don't even know, are drawing on your internal capacity. Because I've noticed that, I've noticed that a lot of people are very tired and exhausted from doing nothing. Sorry, I shouldn't say nothing. Nothing meaningful. And it can only be in a society like ours that that comes from us struggling with knowing what's important, what's ultimate, and what to get rid of out of our lives. So in verse 1, he talks about the beginning, what he's heard, the word of life that has come to him. In the second verse, John talks about the life that was made manifest to him. It didn't just come to him. He didn't just eat it as the bread of life. It became life in him. Why? In verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also. It came to him. He digested it. He ingested it. It became life to him. And then it proclaimed out of him. Also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Not just you can have fellowship with Jesus, but I don't really like you, so go to that church over there. No. That you can have fellowship through Jesus with us. We welcome you in Christ. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That fellowship only comes through the Father and the Son. Suddenly, in verse 2, there's a sound that is emanating from John's life because of his encounters with Jesus. There's a new sound, and people can hear it's different. They can hear the language is different. They lean into it. In verse 3, as he starts to proclaim this, the story of how God changed his life starts to open up. It would be coming out of him, like it was for those who encountered Jesus all across that time. The story that they had engaged did not stay silent, did it? Even when Jesus said, go away and tell no one, how many were successful in doing that? Zero. They went and told everyone. So my question is, if John was experiencing this, and if you have, as I'm speaking this, are reminded of what you've experienced, whether it was starting a journey last week like Jordan has, or you've been in this 20 years, then why so silent? Why has the church been so silent? The church marches with banners to do protests. They march in aid of different things. They try to change the world with programs. They try to understand things around crises and give aid. But what about the word of God? What about the truth of life that's in you? Not something at arm's length, something that's so close, so precious, that if you share it and someone hates it, that it might be painful. That if you share it in full as Jesus did and someone receives it, it might be glorious. The church of the new era has to have a newfound resilience. But firstly, a newfound relationship with Jesus. Verse 4, John tells us why he writes this. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. I think about those apostles looking down the corridors of time, past the talent show, straight to the day today, seeing what was coming and going, I wonder if they can take hold of everything we've seen. I wonder if they're going to embrace everything we've experienced. Knowing the distractions of life, knowing the things that might hold us from our past, knowing that even sin can try and steal our joy. John goes on to say this. This is the message that we have heard from him, verse 5, and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Sometimes we think we live in shadows of sin or shadows of challenges. I'm not my perfect best. I'm not going to come to church this week because otherwise all the perfect people will judge me, right? And then we realize that another week there's no perfect people there, so we should have just come. But the reality is that in light there is no darkness at all. So in darkness, there can be light. Right? The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. But in light, there is no darkness. Isn't that profound? So when you're questioning, I wonder if that's disqualified me. I wonder if this is... When you stand in the light, when you walk in the light of Christ, whether you've been at your best or your worst, there is no darkness. Because he comes and he delivers us again and again. What is the resilience that the church needs? To not listen to the lies of the enemy. To not listen to the lies of our own making. But listen to the word of God. The new word, the new ways over your life that dispenses and just ridicules and removes things that have been spoken over you. Like Beanie's flares, it's time to pack them in the little coffin. Grieve it. Leave it, bury it. And sometimes we've even received prophetic words on camps like this or encouragements, and it's been partly God, and then the person who's giving it in their helpfulness or misunderstanding has tried to shape it towards what they would like it to be. And we need God to cut it off at the point of where he stopped and they began and receive the word of God and leave the rest. We often take prophetic words or even his word and we want to apply it to our circumstance instead of saying, God, you know all things. You know all circumstances. You see beyond me. I'll just receive your word as it is and then you let it hit my circumstances. I'm not going to dictate to you how you want to move. You dictate to me. It's gone a bit quiet. Is everybody okay? If God is light in light, there is no darkness at all. Stay in the light. Remain in the light. He goes on to say this. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. That's pretty obvious to anybody looking on. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. There's a big prize here. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So it might be possible that among us, we sometimes sin against each other. So it's really important that we are in the light so that Jesus, who cleanses us from all sin, can return us to unity quickly. John was talking with an aim towards his church, the Lord's church. Yesterday, I was at the wedding of my sister. I have 8 brothers. I have 4 sisters. 5 of the brothers are now married, including me, right? And I never felt what I felt yesterday seeing my first sister get married. It was different. Why? Because she was the bride. The other would have been the groom, you know? But she was the bride. And there was a sense of the preciousness and the importance of the bride. Jesus' pursuit is his bride. And we are those who are part of that, but we are to esteem that. There's a purity, there's a power, there's a preciousness that we want to hold and uphold who she is. I saw that afresh yesterday in a human example, but it hit me as, man, I don't just have a passion for Jesus. Some people say that, oh, I've got a passion for Jesus. I actually have a passion to see him receive his bride for the church. It's one of the awkward answers I have to give sometimes to people who know God and don't know God. Why do you do this? Why are you a pastor? Why would you lead a church? This is going to be the worst time. Helpful things like that, you know. This is going to be the worst time in Australia to lead that. I know, a lot of people checked out. But there's an innate desire for what God's desiring, his bride. His church. And there's a journey of walking that through, of relationship and trust until those 2 people stand at an altar and make commitments to one another that they cannot make without God. But it's with a givenness to the trust in him. In short, Jesus wants his bride back from everything else that it's been given to, distracted by, and engaging and just to trust his word and to actually worship him. Some of you, where's Brian? Brian's here, isn't he? Where's Brian? He's hiding at the back there. Brian enjoys a good rock concert, all right? I have noted Brian in the mosh pit at a Foo Fighters concert. Have you seen Brian? Have a look at him. We love him. Right, he's right at the back there. He's also been to a Human Nature concert, which I forgave him for. And that was in loving his wife. That was way beyond mushrooms, for those who know what I'm talking about. But he loves a good concert. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never seen Brian in the mosh pit at the front of Coastlands. It's strange to me that someone's behaviour in public, in total embarrassment in front of thousands of people, could not be also, and I'm sure you all want to see this at some stage, don't you? Yeah. Could not also be replicated for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Brian. That was like 10 years in the making. I'm not going to tell you all the other concerts he's been to. You can ask him himself. But you know, sometimes we've got exuberant worshippers like Brian. And they're ready to be unlocked. And they want to worship God. They're like David. They want to dance as David danced. They're into the mosh pit. They're right up the front. Even if they're short, they're going to stand on someone's head to get there, right? And then there's other exuberant worshippers like Daniel. Who are they? So, no, I'm conservative. Okay. So if conservatism in Coastlands is going to look like Daniel and exuberance is going to look like David, we've found our two pictures, all right? Daniel was seriously engaged in what God was doing. He was unwavering in what he would do. And he might not have been the guy to always raise his hands or be in the mosh pit with Brian, but he was devoted to what God was doing. And if we can make them our biblical marker points, then I think there's room for everyone, right? But it's about the heart. Yesterday, a man who's not at the camp this week, but would love to be, apparently he was pulling weeds and God spoke to him. And he was sending me a message about stuff that I was going to talk on. Isn't it amazing? Like the body works from all, even when you're pulling weeds. Thank you, Lord. They can come over to my house. We've got a few to go. But God is wanting to speak to people and he's wanting to speak to us collectively. But he talked about that we need to learn to sing again. I was like, wow. He doesn't know we're talking about a new form of worship. What does it mean by sing? Just, you know, we just need to get our voice back or whatever. No, we need to learn to sing. Tyler and I were lucky enough to go to Wembley Stadium with Coldplay playing. And I heard a whole stadium singing Amazing Grace. For some reason they stopped and they sang Amazing Grace. And the English have this thing where they just love a song. I'm not talking about the Barmy Army. I'm just, they sing a song and it comes from here when they're singing together. And I'll tell you, it swelled. And I knew that some of them didn't even know what they were saying, but they all need it. And I was just like overwhelmed by what it was for a stadium of that size to be waved with this song of Amazing Grace. Sorry, Benny, I know you were. Anyway. Benny wasn't there. He was really annoyed at me for that he wasn't there. But anyway, we've got issues. We've got to work them out. But do you see what I'm saying? You don't sing from your head. There's a singing lesson. You sing from here. And you cannot sing half from here. You can only sing full. And if we believe the words that we're singing, they come from a different place. They come from our spirit. Along that, Coastlands congregation would sing with that guttural depth of worship. And that we would know what we're saying because of the word that is in our lives and sing it in a way that implores others. Resounding. I think this is a little of what John was talking about. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, looking at us and saying, you guys are going to come after me. I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. John wanted everybody to be included as quickly and as powerfully as possible and not let anything get in their way. He is the propitiation for our sins and not for only ours, for not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And this we know, that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. We have been loved by God in the sending of his son, so he removed anything that would get in our way. But we've also been saved by him. He's initiated all of that so that he could commend to us, now know God. Don't know other things, know God. I've made a way for you to know God, and I'm commanding you something. And in verse 4, he says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Wow. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word you have heard. Remember what you've heard. Remember what John has said, the truth about Jesus. It's not getting older. It's always fresh. The old commandment is the word that you've heard. At the same time, it is also a new commandment for a new era that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. We win, friends. The true light is already shining. You can be part of the army of light and live away from darkness, holding the things out that are most precious to you and to him. And God will do it. As I was contemplating, what does this word mean for us in this next season? It means that you are carrying eternal truth that is tangible. Don't doubt the power of the word of God in your life. I remember as a student, I was about 15, 16 years old. I had an amazing encounter with God at a camp. I was one of those people who didn't want to let anybody know about it, so my outside remained very calm while my inside was going berserk. Anybody here like that? I was quite shy and didn't want anybody else to know what was going on. It's very hard to hold that in, you know. I told a few friends just to let it out a little bit. But I got back to school 2 weeks later, and you know, it's really hard to go from a camp like this back into a sort of a systemized environment, isn't it? You know, you've got all this freedom after the talent show, and now you've got to go back to your workplace, and you're not allowed to dance, you're not allowed to play 80s music, 90s music, whatever. But I noticed that my words changed in their power. When I used them well, they would build people up. It was like people would hear what you said. And I'd been one of those quiet people by design. I just didn't want to cause any trouble, so no one would be looking. But I noticed that suddenly words had weight. And if I said something, whether it was on a basketball court or whether it was to a teacher, and it was cutting, it would also have more power. James tells us that life and death is in the tongue. This guy was writing to me this prophetic word when he was doing the weeding. He said to me that the tongue is the only muscle that doesn't have another connection point, naturally. So it rudder, right? Every other muscle we have, it connects somewhere in two places. But I thought about it spiritually and I'm like, does connect to the heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If the word is here, if his ways are here, which Deuteronomy tells us, Romans 10 tells us, then that's what's going to come out. God, bring those words that you've put in my heart, written on my heart, to my mouth. But we've got to understand, you carry a power to build up, to cut through, and to tear down. There's times where God needs to tear some things out, but he'll do that gently through you. We've got to understand the weight of what we carry, the sword that cuts between bone and marrow. Be careful with one another when you're practicing, okay? Don't just swing that thing around willy-nilly. We might have to take the sword off you for a moment and just say, right, sword's down, take it easy. You're thrashing around. Eternal life in him has come to you. You have eternal life. Locked, loaded, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Be confident. You are confident in your destiny. You'll be confident in your now. This is what John's saying to us through this. Eternal fellowship is available and we've engaged it, but others want to. Eternal fellowship, what you've experienced that's deeper than the surface relationships that goes through to what Jesus has said, is available. And thirdly, on a tired morning where coffee is probably imminently required, eternal joy is now possible. John's saying, make my joy complete by walking in the same way as Jesus, walking with what we've heard, walking in the same worship. Let that deep sound come out of your life. Don't be ashamed of it. Allow God to deliver that. A church that does that collectively, with all of its heart, responding to Him, knowing it's loved by God, saved by Christ, commended by Him to know them, will remain in Him and resound for Him. Remain in Him and resound for Him. I saw some exuberant worship when people were diving in to a plate full of cream. They gave up their life for their team and their reputation and all the things with it. Dived in there on behalf of their team, never to have their reputation return, right? They got a new one. Wow, watch out. They will go for it. But there's something about our worship, something about our lives that inspires us, isn't there? Even if you were sitting back, sometimes it's going to be your turn for the part of the family to be exuberant in your worship, to be intentional with your words, and be extravagant in your ways. This is just a little prep word, because in the next few weeks, we're going to take possession of a facility that's meant to facilitate this. Worship, new ways, and the carrying of the word to every place that God intends it. So this is like, hey, we've got a few weeks as a family to really take this on in our heart and say, God, how would you use me? Have I limited myself in any way? Have the words of the past, good or bad, sealing my life? Or is there a release point where now I'm going to trust you in more than I ever have before, and more than anything else that's been offered to me? And I believe God will come to you with such a warmth and a presence and a release to be able to walk in that. He's known you from the beginning, and He desires you to walk in that. I've got prophetic stirrings in me right now to say what this is going to happen for some of you if you take it on. And I'm cautious, because maybe you're a little like Peter. You'll take the word and you'll go and try and do it yourself, rather than waiting on the word, hearing it, and waiting for the instruction. Waiting's hard, you know. I heard in the wedding speeches the length of time it took this young man to pursue my sister, and how many times he was flatly rejected. And then he was involved in a fire, which nearly took his life, and suddenly it all turned. And he was saying, you know, it shouldn't take that for, you know, he was saying, girls, shouldn't take that for me to have to, you know. But I heard in that there's a whole journey that unfolds. And sometimes we don't want to take the journey. We just want the results. In an outcome-driven society, okay, Ben, give me that word, and then God, do it. And he's like, well, I've been working on it. There's only one factor here that seems to be a challenge, and that's I'm working with you. And then we ready our hearts and we respond, and God does it. But there is a courage, there's a conviction, there's a desire that God has for us that we've got to let in this morning. His desire is fully towards you. I'll let Him do what He wants to do. I'll prophesy this: in the next 6 months, some of you are going to have such a radical change in your life that it won't even be recognizable to where you sit today. From workplaces to engagements with people and planet, there's a whole world out there. To the reality of who you might know that you never knew, because it's time to step out. And to welcome him.